So we've been in a sermon series about the power of yet, right? And I mentioned earlier that you tack that on to the end of any sentence and it gives it something hopeful. It means I'm not good at math yet. It's not I'm not good at math. And there's a difference, right? I mentioned that my son brought this concept home to me, the growth mindset. And I was like, wow, that's Christian. That's exactly how God wants to think of us, wants us to think about our lives. And I don't care how young or how old you are. God's not done with you. You're here for a reason. You've got purpose. This hasn't happened yet. I haven't conquered addiction yet. I'm not out of jail yet. I haven't graduated college yet. I don't have plans for my future yet. I don't know exactly what God wants for me yet. And if you keep saying that, then it keeps you moving forward. It keeps you trying to grow. It keeps you trying to improve. It keeps you trying to practice. Today's sermon, I want to talk about waiting for God. The first one of the series I dealt with like New Year's resolutions, the way in which we often have negative self-talk, where we say to ourselves, man, I'm just not that way. And I wanted to say, instead, why don't you say, I'm not that way yet. And maybe our New Year's resolutions is to think about one of those things where you've given up on yourself and to stop giving up on yourself and to have hope, right? God can do a new thing. The second Sunday, we dealt with justice, large issues in society, in the Treasure Valley, globally, right? Where we get overwhelmed when we watch the news with fear, with violence, with it just feels daunting. I can't solve the world's problems. And we say, God, show up, make the world right. And we say, man, God has not made the world right yet. In Acts, the reading we just gave, the apostles want to know, Lord, when the Holy Spirit comes, will your kingdom be here in full then? Will justice reign? Will everything be put right? And of course, in Jesus' typical fashion, just answers a question with a question, right? Is it for you to know the time and the plans of God? Like, your job is to be patient. Your job is to continue being faithful regardless of your circumstances, right? So we did that last week. How do we find hope when sometimes things seem hopeless? Today I want to talk about the situation that many of you find yourself in. I know I find myself in the situation, and that is, I just don't know what the future holds. I would really love to have a word from God about what I should do. I know college students deal with this constantly. What do I do when I graduate? What should I major in? Should I marry this person or not? And you want to hear from God. You want to have some indication, some burning bush moment that says, aha, yes, this is what God wants. But often, we have to wait. That doesn't happen in our time, the way I would like it to happen, right? So I want to ask a question. This is my congregational question to you. For those that feel comfortable sharing, when is a time you felt like, or maybe you feel like, you've had to wait for God? Maybe it was something where you really had to wait, and then eventually there was like a good ending for you, like, and then I got clarity, right? Or maybe for some of you, you're still in the waiting. What are times in your life where you've had to wait for God? It's always more interesting when you guys share than when I share. Yeah, James.
It's when the time of God came to me was when I found He helped me find a job. I was pretty amazed. I wasn't, because you know how usually jobs are, usually takes forever just to get, you got a lot of paperwork, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, and you're just like, my job was like that. And I'm like, oh.
I know Amanda has shared during Prayers of the People, she's in this very hard waiting game of finding not just a job, but like a vocation. And she feels like she's got so much to give, but yet has not felt like that's happened for her. So she's in the midst of waiting for that. Yeah, Kel.
I had to wait forever to get pregnant. And everyone else got pregnant. It was like I was a fertility drug for all other people. That was awful.
That was a really tough time, and she was in school social work at the time, through part of it, because infertility was like very real for her. I would like to say for us, and that's true to some extent, but it's really for you. And she would go into these homes, and there would be a 15-year-old with a baby. And it was like, how does that work? We have this loving home, all we want is a baby, and then It's just not happening, right? But it seems to be happening for everyone else.
Background. Who's your daddy? This whole thing of a paternity test, and I'm sitting there just thinking, seriously?
Yeah. And there's obviously the ending to that is very happy, because while we had to wait and go through all kinds of heartache in various ways, and some people never get to have their own children, like it never gets resolved, and they're stuck in an even more difficult situation. But the yet was very real in our lives. It just hadn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back, it feels well worth it. I mostly wouldn't trade them for any other kids, so I'm glad we waited.
Or we're just waiting for a job position.
What else? Yeah, Shelley.
I think my hardest wait was over whether to end my marriage or not.
Hmm.
And praying and journaling and counseling and in a cycle for years and years, and I cannot tell you how many times I would say to God, rock through my window, bush on fire, finger, handwriting on the wall, anything would be good, carrier pigeon, anything, but I can't go until you tell me it's okay, and knowing, finally dawning on me that I was kind of in an abusive situation, and then thinking I was almost there, and then something occurred, and it was like, oh, no, I can't leave now.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I can't leave now. And till one day, I can't say that it was a happy conclusion.
Yeah.
But at least the waiting game was over.
If you couldn't hear, waiting for wisdom from God about whether to get divorced or not, many of you have been through this, where you feel like this is not a good marriage. There's so many problems. But I don't want to divorce unless I'm sort of set free in some way by God. And that takes a long time. And it's hard to get clarity on those things. And how long do I wait? And so in your situation, recognizing that it's like abusive in various ways, and that needing to leave is important. And I know the traditional view of the church is pretty opposed to divorce. I'm not like a fan of divorce. I'm a product where my mom was divorced, and she's on her fourth marriage, and my dad, before he passed, was married 5 times. I mean, I was around it.
Wow.
But I also have been around enough people, talked to enough people to know that sometimes the mistake was getting married. It's not the divorce, if that makes sense. But to know that is hard, and to wait on God for that kind of release is very difficult. So, so difficult. I completely understand that. Yeah.
I think I'm speaking for about 97% of the people in this room. If we're waiting for a leader like you to break our hearts and to wait. So the people in this room are incredible.
Yeah. The people in this room are incredible. That's thank you. Thank you. Well, I waited a long time for God to crack me open enough to say I'll be a pastor. The one thing I told Kel, I'll never be a politician. I'll never be a pastor. I hope I'm never a politician. I'm really grateful that I'm a pastor. But that was God's joke on me, and it took me a long time to get that memo. So we waited for each other. So thank you. That's awesome.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, my thing is, of course, everybody may or may not know, I was in the military for X amount of years. And there was a part in a time where the military was reducing not only bases, but personnel. And at that time, I spent 12 years of my life, and I loved what I was doing.
Hmm.
At the same time, I was also asking God to find me somebody that cared about me and not my kindness.
Hmm.
And so I prayed and prayed and prayed. And then finally, sometimes when it's left in other humans' hands, they got your life in your hand, in their hands, and not yours.
Yeah.
Well, my prayer was answered that I had a good enough career that I got to stay. But the biggest prayer was my lovely wife.
Mm. Yeah. Waiting to find a person to make that kind of commitment to, trying to sift through all that is so difficult. But it's beautiful looking back now. That's so great. Jana.
This is kind of a, I don't want to say a silly one, but When I first met DJ, I like automatically had a crush on him.
I have a crush on him. I totally get it. That guy's awesome. Did you hear his voice? It's like an angel.
But he was seriously dating his girlfriend from college at the time. And then eventually got engaged to her. But I still like held up hope. And things didn't work out. So I just felt like, I don't know. But that just felt like a real waiting time.
Yeah.
Figure out, do I say something? Do I stay quiet? When is it okay time to tell him I like him?
You were like in a movie. If he's engaged, do I communicate how I feel? Yeah. You were just waiting for DJ to figure it out, right? You knew right away. He just had to have his journey. But how hard would that be, right? To have real feelings for someone and say maybe it's just not meant to be. But to say I'm not going to just go out with someone else. I'm going to kind of wait. These are hard things. Waiting for God is one of the most difficult things. And just so you know, if you feel that way today, you're in good company, because it's like a theme that runs throughout the whole Bible, just waiting on God. So I've got some examples from Scripture, right? So go past the next slide. Go to the next one. Next one. There you go. So Noah had to wait on... don't ask me. God's like, I don't like that slide, Joe. It's just a little joke, Noah saying, maybe I shouldn't have brought the termites. That's all, right? But Noah gets a word from God about a ship that he's supposed to build and a storm that's coming. And then he has to wait around looking like a fool. I mean, think about it, right? How does everyone around Noah think? This is a lunatic. You're building a boat on land. There's no water to be seen. What are you doing, right? And he has to wait. And he has to wait. And he has to wait. God hasn't shown up yet. Not that he'll never show up. He just hasn't shown up yet. And so Jonah's got to wait on the Lord, right? Israelites are slaves in Egypt, right? So the Israelites are taken away and enslaved by the Pharaoh. For generations, they're slaves. Until Moses gets the call from God to set them free. God has not set us free yet. They had to wait, and some had to die as slaves, waiting on the Lord.
That's when the burning bush came in.
That's correct. Right? So the Israelites getting taken away to Babylon in exile, we read in Jeremiah. The Lord says you're going to wait 70 years. Be grateful, by the way. Most of you are waiting on the Lord. You don't have to wait 70 years, I'm hoping. Hoping not 70. But the Israelites in Babylon had to wait 70 years, right? Next one. In Acts we read, Jesus, right, tells his disciples, I will be crucified, right? I will be raised. I don't want you to leave Jerusalem. I want you to wait because the Holy Spirit is going to be unleashed on you at Pentecost, where the tongues of fire come, right? The Holy Spirit gets unleashed. But do you know what this means for the disciples of Jesus? We have to watch him get executed by Rome, and then we have to stay in the city? We're all targets. All of us now are enemy number one for the Jewish leadership and for Rome. And for 50 days, they have to wait in Jerusalem before Pentecost. 50 days taking their life into their own hands, waiting on God to show up, waiting for some answers. This notion of waiting is common. And if you're like me, it's the worst. I meet with Greg regularly. He has to tell me perpetually to slow down all the time. Like, I just want to get things done. I'm like, we can get this done. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I said, we've been waiting forever. And he says, no, we haven't. Things take time. I want to get it done. I want to get it done yesterday. Let's go, right? So the idea that I have to wait is frustrating. So this is how I feel. We're going to watch a video clip. We'll see if you relate. The video clip is from the movie Zootopia. It's an animated film.
Yes.
In the movie Zootopia, the clip we're going to watch is a rabbit who's a detective. No. Is that yes?
Yes.
She goes to the DMV because she needs to get information about someone's car, and she really needs that information because she's in the middle of a case she's got to solve. Sadly, every DMV worker is a sloth. This is how I feel. I'm the rabbit and God is the sloth.
Get something done, he's on.
I hope so. We are really fighting the clock and everything that counts.
So I'm the rabbit and God is the sloth, and all I want you to do is answer my question. Let me get out of here, right? But that's not how it works. So we wait. What I want to talk about is how to wait well, because that's all you can control. And sometimes it's really hard to know that or to remember that or to remind ourselves of that. Most of your life you cannot control. You can't control when God will speak, and you can't control when clarity will come, but you can control how you'll wait, right? You can control how patient you might be. And Scripture gives us some help here. So I read a passage from Jeremiah that talks about the Israelites who had been taken into exile and captivity. And God says, oh, don't worry, in 70 years, I'll bring you back. I have plans to prosper you. But again, imagine if you're 50 in exile. That doesn't sound great. 70 years, right? So I assume the question on the Israelites' mind is, well, what do we do in the meantime? And so Jeremiah helps us. So here's Jeremiah 29, the same chapter. The Lord of the heavenly forces, the God of Israel, proclaims to all of the exiles I have carried off from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses, settle down, cultivate gardens, and eat what they produce. Get married and have children. Then help your sons find wives and your daughters find husbands in order that they too may have children. Increase in number so you don't dwindle away. Promote the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because your future depends on its welfare. What do you do in the meantime? You do the next right thing. You do the next right thing while you wait. You can spend your whole life trying to figure out what God wants and be paralyzed. Trying to find the perfect job. Once I get married, then my life will really start. Once I have a career, then my life will start. Once I finish college, then that's when I'll really... And you can spend your whole life just saying, well, once this happens and once that happens and once God, and it never actually begins. Your life starts right now in the midst of waiting. And you ask yourself, what's the next right thing? What are the things you're certain of? What are the things you know to be true? To love God, to love your neighbor, to serve, to try to emulate Christ, to just keep moving forward with the next thing you know you ought to do. And eventually, if you keep doing that, God is going to show up. God is going to interject. God is going to deliver. God is going to reveal. But in the meantime, you can't sit around twiddling your thumbs. You have to just keep up with the next right thing. I have two movies that I would say are probably in my top five, and they have to go along this theme exactly. It's a Wonderful Life. Anybody not see It's a Wonderful Life ever in your life? It's okay if you have... I say it's okay, then immediately. You have homework now. Now this is your homework, right? It's a Wonderful Life is about George Bailey, right? And what does George Bailey want to do more than anything in the world?
Travel.
Invent things. Do great things. That's all he wants. And so he says, oh, well, my dad died, so I've got to keep the business going. But just until my brother comes back from school, then I'll get out of here. And then his brother comes back from school, but he's got a fiance whose dad off. Oh, no. Oh, well, maybe I'll just do it for a few more years until this happens. And then, oh, and then he's got children. Can't really quit my job now and travel because I got... But maybe... So George Bailey just keeps waiting and waiting and waiting for something that doesn't happen. But he doesn't just wait doing nothing. He waits by doing the next right thing. And the next right thing is build another house for someone who needs it, right? Fight Potter on one more issue so that we can provide justice for the world. Love in the next moment. He just keeps doing the next right thing. And while he feels like he accomplishes nothing, we know that he's the richest person in Bedford Falls, right? Because life is what happens while you're waiting. Just so you know, life is what happens while you're waiting. So learn how to wait well. My other favorite is Shawshank Redemption, Andy Dufresne, falsely imprisoned, Written by Stephen King. Man, I don't know if you know that or not. I mean, that's crazy to me. But Andy Dufresne could simply say, I'll wait till I'm free. I'll wait till this gets overturned. I'll wait until and be like every other prisoner, right? Because prison would suck the hope out of most of us. But you know what Andy Dufresne does instead? I'm in prison and I can build a library. I'm in prison and I can do the next right thing. I can love the next person in my cell. I can, and he provides hope because in the waiting to be released, in the waiting for his freedom, he experiences like redemption, transformation. So my prayer for you is that while you wait, you live. Like all the way. Rely on the things that you're certain of when you're waiting for answers that you're not certain of. Right? And you know what those things are. They're things like fruits of the Spirit, like peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and self-control. You know how to practice those things while you wait for the DMV person to give you their answer. Let's pray. Lord, we do not like waiting. I do not like waiting. My prayer is that you would give us patience. My prayer is that you would keep us hopeful, that you would remind us that you just haven't spoken yet, that we would remember your promises, and that while we wait, we would fully live. Amen. If you would please stand for our closing song.